This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Time now for the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Heard weekly on stations all over Colorado. Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are Colorado injury attorneys, but for the next hour, they'll answer questions and provide advice on any legal matter, including wills, real estate, bankruptcy, contracts, and more. Call in now, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. And now, here are your hosts, live in the studio, Gary Bell and Brad Pollock.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell, along with Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, but this show is brought to you to give answer your questions, solve your problems on any legal subject. You can call us at 303-713-8255. And if you've been injured in any kind of trauma, crash, bicycle crash, car crash, truck crash, motorcycle incident, UM, UIM, it doesn't matter, premises liability, you can call us, Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. We have years of experience, and we can put those years of experience to work for you. And we do it all the time. We're glad to do it. You need experience. You need to be educated. You need information. And guess what? We can give it to you, and we do, right? 303-795-5900, or just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, championsofthepeople.com, right? Think about that for a reason. And we have an information-loaded website, as I said many times. We've written 10 separate books on different injury subjects, 10 books. They're free on our website. You can download an e-copy free anytime. Just go to championsofthepeople.com, go to our books, and you can download an e-copy. If you want a hard copy of any of our books, they're free, too. Wow, free. And we will send it to you, or you can come by our office, and you can pick it up right there. Yeah, you can walk right in the door and ask our receptionist for a book. Wow. Pretty cool. All right, so today we're talking about, Car Accidents 101. That's been our series. We have different parts. We are over 30 parts now. And what does that mean? We've covered 30 different major areas of injuries. And we call it Car Accidents 101, but as we've said, it applies to any type of trauma. If you're in a big box store and merchandise falls off the top shelf and hits you and you're injured, it can apply to that. It can apply to motorcycle collisions. It can apply to bicycle collisions. It's summertime. We're riding our bikes. You can car, bicycle, hit and run, car, pedestrian. It doesn't matter. Just because we call it Car Accidents 101 does not limit it to car accidents. And also, we cover workers' comp. We have books written on workers' comp. And they're right there on our website. They're free. I think one book we cover 17 ways you can kill your own work comp claim. 17 ways. So if you read them, if you read the book, which is free, then you're informed, then you're educated. If you're educated, you can win. And that's why we've been seeing it for years. Okay, today we're talking about now. Think about this, you guys. You're in a car accident. That's our basic scenario. Let's say you're rear-ended. And now the insurance company, we always cover. We always cover, you know, what you can do and say with the insurance company, what they can do and say with you, what you should not let them do, not let them get away with. Now, Brad, let's switch the perspective. Let's turn the mirrors a little bit, and let's look and focus at the insurance company in this transaction. And meaning what? Well, when they have a claim filed, they do an investigation. And when they do an investigation, wow, sometimes we really want those records.
Well, that's right. It's kind of a basic thing that
You want to find out what happened in the crash and what people are talking about in the crash, and what exactly is the viewpoint of the defendant with respect to the crash. You want to find out what the defense is all about. The purpose of trial and the purpose of law is to have a truth-seeking process where people have revealed back and forth what exactly it is that they're relying on to take their position, which is obviously opposed to the position of the other side. And therefore, you want to get this information that the different people have, and you want to get the sources of the information. Who else has information? What's happened? What has happened to the person that was involved in the crash? What is their statement? What is their position with respect to how the crash occurred? Why do they think that your client isn't hurt? What is the basis for them to say your client might have caused part of the crash? And they're suing you, but you think they caused part of the crash, so they're partially responsible. There's a lot of issues that go into a case, and you can try and simplify it down, but then you start getting into the issues of insurance companies. And when you get into the issues of insurance companies, you start talking about when an insurance company immediately gets on the case and starts working the case and starts getting information, what are they doing? Are they doing it to investigate the case and find out facts? Are they doing it to determine if they have responsibility in the case? Are they doing it to determine whether their insured was responsible for causing the crash? Are they doing it to try and figure out how much money they should do in reserves? Are they doing it in anticipation of litigation? And each step of the way, you're going, well, you know, anybody listening would say, well, maybe it's all of them. Maybe it's none of them. But the question is, as the insurance company is doing that, the first question is, are we as the trial attorneys or as the plaintiff's attorneys entitled to find out what the insurance company found out?
Right. And there's many reasons for this. Think about this, you guys. We're turning the focus away from what the insurance company wants from you. They want this. They want this piece of paper. They want you to sign a release. They want you to fill out their questionnaire. We've harped on that. We've done it. It's on our website. It's very important. We're still harping on it. But now focus on them. Look at that insurance company. As Brad just said, so you're an insurance company. You insured this person. The person calls in and says, I think I rear-ended somebody. So you, as the insurance company, are trying to determine whether your insured is responsible and liable or not, or are you going to defend it, saying they're not responsible or liable, and if so, how? And you're trying to figure out because if you don't think your insured is responsible, you're not going to pay any money later. So that's just that's the genesis. That's the beginning. And we're going to cover it today, but there's an entire body of law in Colorado, mostly case law, some rule law, but mostly case law dealing with this subject, dealing with whether or not you, as an injured victim, you got rear-ended today, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 5 weeks, 5 months, can you get the insurance company file on you? Can you get the insurance company file on this accident? And if so, why? And if not, why not? Why not? Insurance companies are going to investigate the crash. They're going to figure out if they're responsible through their insured to cover anybody on this policy. They're going to figure out why. And along the merry way, wow, sometimes the stuff that's in their file is absolutely amazing, and you're going to learn about it today. You're going to hear about it today. I'm Gary Bell, along with Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We are what? We are the champions of the people. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. We're here for you. We've been here for you for years. We've been doing the show for over 25 years. We can put our experience to work for you if you've been injured. Call us at our law firm or go to championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. This is the Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us at 303-713-8255. You can call our law firm at 303-795-5900. And an easy way to do it is just go on to the website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, today we're over well over part 30 in our Car Accident 101 series. As Car Accident 101, today we're turning the focus of the inquiry into the insurance company, the at-fault insurance company's records and documents and file. And believe me, they do not want to give this to you. They don't want to. Now, I want you to picture this. Picture what this file looks like. So they're trying to do an investigation. So what do? They take a statement of their insured, who's the at-fault driver. And they want to take a statement of you. And then you ask them, well, can I have a statement of your insured, the one who reared me? No, you can't. Sorry. All right, so they got the statement, maybe more than one statement, maybe some statements of witnesses that you don't even know about. And I'm going to tell you some more. Brad's going to tell you some more. But hang on to this thought over here on your left hand. Hang on to this thought. You got rear-ended. Or better yet, let's say it was an intersection accident. Somebody pulled in front of you, ran a red light, pulled in front of you, and the insurance company is looking for a way to blame you, which they always do. They're looking for a way to blame you. What if they had two witness statements in their file that said you were not at fault? You were not at fault. But they don't give them to you. And they've got them. All right, so now you're seeing the flavor of this inquiry. So now the insurance company is doing an investigation, so maybe they have witness statements, maybe they have the statement of the person who hits you. Wouldn't you really like to know what that says when they are denying your claim and they're denying that they're even responsible or liable? Then there are pages. Brad, I want you to explain this. We've been through this a million times. There are pages and pages and pages over the course of the lifetime of a file of the adjuster's notes. So when the adjuster talks to a witness, she or he types it out and it's in the file. When they go get a document, they type it out and it's in the file. When they speak to the police or the police investigator, they type it out in the file. So there's many, many pages of the adjuster's notes. Talk about that a minute.
Right. And you'd expect that's what an adjuster should be doing. An adjuster, when they get the case, should be spending the time necessary to find out what happened in the crash and what happened in with respect to care and who's at fault and who the witnesses are and talking to the witnesses. And you expect that out of the insurance company. As we all sit here, we go, well, that would make sense. You know, an insurance company, when a crash happens, has to investigate the crash to find out what's gone on. Okay. Is the adjuster doing that in anticipation of litigation, or is the adjuster doing that as part of the work duties and responsibilities that an insurance company has to address a claim, to address an issue, to address a crash? Which way should it go? Fortunately, we've had a Supreme Court that's been pretty accepting of the arguments we make with respect to what exactly the adjuster's really doing when they're getting that kind of information.
Right. Now, take a look at this. In the ordinary course of life, right, business, ice cream shop, Fortune 500 company, they create what's called business records. Business records. Hang on to that concept. Business records. So the insurance company, when they're investigating this accident that involved you and your upcoming surgery, then they create these notes. And the argument is always that those are business records. They are in the business of investigating claims. They are in the business of evaluating claims. They are in the business of placing money value on claims. Therefore, those are business records. Because, Brad, if they're business records, we can get our hands on them. If they're business records, they're just freely discoverable. And so the insurance company has to, and their lawyers have to try to put some kind of protection and overlay this protection on these business records, because they don't want you to see many times what was said or discovered.
Right. So, and think about it. You know, when a case, a trucking company has trucks all over the nation, and they've got these trucks that are out driving, and they get into a crash. And, you know, you've even seen from the idea that when that happens, there's an investigator immediately assigned by the insurance company to go check out the crash, to go check out, see what's happening, to go find out what happened and how it happened. Okay, what is the reason the insurance company is doing that? Is the reason the insurance company is doing that is to get the information and have it available and make sure it's in the trucking company's records? Or is the reason the trucking company's doing it is to make sure it's in the trucking company's records to be able to determine and assess responsibility, to be a better trucking company, to know what happens with respect to injuries, to decide whether or not there's liability on one side or the other, and if so, what kind of money should be set aside to take care of the injured people. Is that the reason, and is that something you expect out of the ordinary course of the business of the trucking company and of the insurance company? Is that what you expect to be there, what they would do, or is that in anticipation of litigation?
Those words are critical. Because that's what they always say. Now, draw a line right there. Draw a line. We say they're business records. And they are. It's their business to investigate claims. They say all these documents were, quote, prepared in anticipation of litigation, end quote. Therefore, there's a privilege over them and you don't get them.
Right. And we live in a very interesting world, because just about anything you do, or and somebody is discovering what's happening out of a car crash or out of a trucking accident or out of the liability issue, somebody can say, well, that, you know, you could have anticipated the litigation. You could have anticipated the lawyers would be there. Here come the lawyers.
Okay, well, do you anticipate litigation in a car crash, litigation, lawsuits? Do you anticipate litigation when they just got rear-ended 2 hours ago and the insured called in and said, I had an accident? Is right. That when you're anticipating litigation?
Now, when you're driving by the crash, you know, somebody's going to get sued, or somebody's going to, you know, the first thing you do when you go by a crash is you're always going, I wonder if somebody's hurt. You know, how bad was the crash? What happened? Is somebody hurt? Then you say, who's responsible? Then you say, is somebody in the hospital, is somebody going to lose their health in one form or another? And that's what we're talking about when personal injury lawyers are involved, is somebody's lost their health in one form or another. And when that's happening, you start saying, okay, when you send in people to start investigating, is the investigation, what's the insurance company's job? Everybody sit down and let's start at the beginning, Gary. Let's say you've got Progressive Insurance in an accident. You've got State Farm Insurance on one side and Progressive Insurance on the other side. Somebody's going to pay for that accident. Somebody's going to pay for the damage to the vehicles. Somebody's going to pay for the injuries to the person. Somebody's going to pay for what might be the permanent injuries. You expect that because that's why we get insurance. That's the insurance business. Should the insurance company really be able to get away with saying we're not going to disclose to you the information we have and what we used to determine our to reach our determination that we're not going to pay money because we were there and we got all this information and every time we did it, we anticipated there'd be a lawsuit?
Right. And think about this. Here's an interesting thought. Brad and I did a case. We've done a lot of trucking cases, but we did one in particular where we fought a long time to get discovery, to find out, to get a copy of the statement the safety director made across the United States after this accident in Colorado. So trucking accident in Colorado, safety director sends a message to all the truckers digitally. It says the following. You truckers out there, be careful. We just had somebody get plowed over in Colorado last night. Now, you'd want that statement. Because now the trucking company denies you're injured or as bad as you claim, Now the trucking company denies it's their fault. But here's a statement from their safety director to all truckers across the country that somebody got plowed over in Colorado last night. That's an example of what we're talking about. So are those ordinary business records, right? Are they ordinary business records, or are they prepared in anticipation of litigation? And so when are documents prepared in anticipation of litigation? Because they say they try to protect them. They try to not turn them over. Going to give you another example before we go to break. Let's take an intersection accident. Those are hard to prove sometimes. Because somebody said, well, he pulled in front of me. Well, you were speeding. You ran a red light. You had a yellow light. We both had this. We had that. And I can't tell you. I just can't tell you how many times once we get into the insurance company file that the person that we're going after that we say pulled in front of us, we say ran a red light, in the statement they gave to their own insurance company the same day, they said they did that. They said they ran a red light. They said they pulled in front of the other car, our car. But now, weeks later, they're denying it, in part or in whole. Do you see what we're talking about here? We have to focus on the insurance company's file. What does it contain? Do we get to see it or not? And why not? All right, Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're on your side. You know that. 303-795-5900, our law firm, can help you. We can educate and advocate because we do educate and advocate. Bell and Pollack, we'll be right back. All right, here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. You know, Caitlin's Restaurant, they're open there and they serve breakfast anytime. They serve lunch anytime. It's great food, but what I really like the most, and Eric's not with us today, but what I really like the most is a homemade, scratch-made green chili sauce, scratch-made red chili sauce, scratch-made secret recipe beans, and the same thing for the pancake batter. I mean, the pancake batter, it's thicker than you would expect. It doesn't, and you say, well, I don't like thick. It's not thick that you don't like it. This is delicious pancake batter. Brad talked about today, great day, deck's open. What's going on?
Well, the deck's open. It's going to be pretty hot out there, so you got a nice environment inside that you can go in and enjoy the food. If you want to sit out there, there are umbrellas. Which brings down the temperature a lot. Caitlin's is situated where there's nice trees over the deck and there's good shade on the deck and you got the umbrellas on the deck. So I wouldn't have a problem going out there, and I bring that up because I know a lot of people are going, well, it's 100 degrees. So you know what? Go inside. I go inside and enjoy the comfort inside and eat there. You're going to have a great breakfast. It's not a place where you're going to get all the frilly stuff that you get at some of the other breakfast places. It's just a down home, regular, wonderful place to go in and have great green chili, have great pancakes, scratch made, some kind of special buttermilk pancake. Mixture that I can't get Eric to give me the recipe. And, you get a lot of food on your plate for what you pay. You got great service, got people who care about you, who want to make sure you have a good environment, that you have a good time, that you have a good experience when you're there. And the prices are right. It's going to be something you're going to enjoy. I was looking at some of the reviews, and here's one that says, oh my goodness, I cannot say enough good things about this place. I booked this location for a private meetup. Caitlin's were very gracious in allowing us to use their restaurant even after hours. And that's the kind of people you've got at Caitlin's. They're good people that care about you and want to give you good food. And go in there and have a great breakfast. And you're going to love it every bite of the way.
You're going to love it every bite of the way. I tell you what, you can have breakfast at noon. You can have a cheeseburger at 6:30 in the morning. These people are very accommodating. Great food. And Brad says it's just like a down-home restaurant, comfortable. Deck is out there. Brad, where are they located?
Is it 4379 East Mississippi Avenue, Denver, Colorado, obviously. And you can call them at 798-6600. That's 303-798-6600. If you go down Colorado Boulevard and you get to Mississippi, you're going to go one block east on Mississippi, and it's right there on your left-hand side. It's in a shopping center called the Glendale Shopping Center. It's a strip mall. It's not going to be hard for you to see it. It's right there. And go down there and give it a try, folks. I can promise you this. If you go down there and give it a try, you're going to want to go back. And that's the secret to knowing whether or not you've got a good restaurant.
Yeah, one guy calls and said, you know, you guys, I've been listening to you for years on the show. Finally, you got me to go over to Caitlin's, and I'm so, so glad I did. So you can go right over there. You can go over there this morning. All right, now we're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Jerry. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Hey, what can we do for you?
I've been considering the, they're not really insurance policies, but there are arrangements people can make with different companies so that if a good, decent, upstanding, moral citizen is forced to use lethal force in defense of their life or some other innocent person's life and gets wrongfully arrested and persecuted, that you know, it's kind of like an insurance policy, that they'll have legal arrangements made ahead of time for representation.
Right.
But what I'm wondering about is, let's say somebody doesn't have anything like that, and then, you know, like we've seen on TV a million times, where the officer says, well, if you can't afford or don't have an attorney, one will be appointed for you. How does that go? Let's say I can afford one, but I just haven't made any arrangements. I don't know any attorneys. I don't have anybody on retainer. So then I guess they appoint one for me, and then, I don't know, some judge at some point decides, well, you could really have afforded this, so you, here's the bill.
That's a great,
and then I guess,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought you're finished. Go ahead.
Well, and then I guess maybe the more important question is, as I understand it from my limited studies, if you find yourself in that situation, the most important thing is to just get bailed out, and then you can start working on your legal defense. Is that right?
Right. So, great question, and you're right. There are certain insurance policies, and they're usually sold at, if you go into a gun store, they're there. And you can, you know, they have lawyers, and they have insurance coverages in case that you do have self-defense, etc. And they cover them. I've never looked into any, you know, limitations, but you're right, they're there. And then, so let's just say you don't have that. You're charged with a crime, and then they give you the Miranda warning, which Miranda has an incredible history in our country. But anyway, they give you the Miranda warning. You have the right to remain silent, etc. If you can't afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you. That all arose out of a famous United States Supreme Court years ago called Gideon versus Wainwright, and that said, if people, you know, it's not fair, whatever, the reasoning was that they have to have an attorney. So how do you get one? Well, so you're arrested, you go to jail, you're going to have a bond hearing, bail hearing, and then you're going to get the opportunity to fill out some paperwork. That's the key right there. Fill out some paperwork and report, you know, income, assets, whatever. And so it's a qualifying piece of paper. And I don't know the exact division or whatever. I'm sure there's criminal lawyers that do out there. But if you have so many assets that you don't qualify, you're not going to get a court-appointed attorney. And it was designed to have attorneys for people who actually could not afford them. Which begs the next question, Jerry, great question. Attorneys are expensive. And criminal defense attorneys are very expensive. And so maybe you have money, maybe you've been frugal and saved up assets. Now you're in a tight spot, you're self-defending yourself, and you don't have, you have enough assets that you don't qualify, but to pay for an attorney is going to wipe you out, right? I mean, just literally wipe you out. So And I've got some friends that are criminal attorneys, but I think what you do is, if you're in that situation, you can shop for criminal defense attorneys. You don't want one down the street that has gravy stains on his tie. You don't want that guy. What you want is somebody that's reputable, good, and hopefully will quote you a flat fee for representation. So you don't have an ongoing nightmare of legal bills coming in. That's my best answer, Brad. Your take?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Is you're going to fill out forms, and they're going to determine whether or not you have enough money to pay for an attorney and to afford an attorney, or if you don't. And I can tell you, most people don't have the money to afford an attorney, especially when you're talking about some of the stuff you were talking about. They're going to get a public defender to one degree or another. Obviously, if you have somebody who has a great deal of money or has the assets or the income or can generate the income, that's a different situation. And you do have to, it's a state-appointed attorney who makes the determination makes the determination on how to follow your case. One of the questions they're going to ask is, do you face incarceration and you can't legally afford the attorney? That's a big area, because if you're facing incarceration, then you've got a different story and you have more of a chance of having your attorney appointed for you. There are not-for-profit agencies that also will help you get a free or low-cost attorney. And the best way, if somebody needs it, is to call an attorney to begin with. Just call an attorney. Or what you do is you call the public defender's office, and you call the public defender's office and say, hey, I'm in trouble. I'm being charged with a crime. I need an attorney. The public defender's office picks up most of its clients, though, from people who've been arrested and are going before a judge for the first time. And the person says, I didn't do this, and I need an attorney. And the judge will immediately say, okay, they're going to tell the district attorney, actually, to get the process going to determine whether or not this person should have a court-appointed attorney and to get them an attorney. They're very adamant about getting that done. Now, a lot of times you want that done before you're arrested, and when you're going to be questioned, and at that point you also have the right to an attorney and get one court appointed.
Okay, one other tip, Jerry, and then see if you have any further questions on this deal. So, most of the, I don't do criminal defense work, but most of the criminal defense attorneys I know, there's an old saying that goes in between them. And the saying is, if you're going to represent somebody charged with a crime, get all your fee and money up front. Don't, no payment plan, no this, no promises. You get all your money and fee up front. So I guess the thing would be, if you're thrown out onto the economy, basically, to use a military term, and you have to go hire your own attorney and pay for him, make sure you get one that's reputable, good reputation, and you know the fee, and it's a one-time fee, it's a flat fee, and you can afford it. You don't like it, but you're charged with a serious crime. You can afford it, pay it, and get the defense. I mean, and so I hope we're answering your questions.
Well, that's all useful, but I guess I'm wondering, let's say I've been arrested, and but I haven't made any prior arrangements, so are the nice people at the jail going to let me sit down with a Yellow Pages and a phone and start calling attorneys until I find one that'll work with me? How does that work? Let's say I can afford it. Let's say the money's not an issue, but okay, it's just a matter of selecting one.
Actually, they are going to let you normally. Now, there's times not, but you're going to get a legal pad, and actually you're going to be able to look through and try and find an attorney and make some calls.
Okay.
And now sometimes if the jail has a reason, they're going to take that pad away from you, and you're not going to be able to make calls. But a lot of times, yes, you have pads, and you can make calls. You can make calls to loved ones and ask them to start looking for attorneys. You can make calls to attorneys yourself. Normally at the jail, they're going to be cooperative. Now, the minute I'm saying this, I can promise you there's people out there right now, we're going to call them and say, they didn't do that for me, or I didn't get that, or, you know, that didn't happen, you know, and they're going to say that's not how it happens. But, you know, my experience, and I've dealt with some people who have been incarcerated recently and talked to them, they were given the opportunity to make some calls to get attorneys. What starts out, though, is a lot of times when they come in for their initial appearance before the judge, they can ask then,
right.
And then it, when bond is set, they can ask for an attorney during the bond. And these attorneys, even if they're public defenders, when they're appointed, or and sometimes they're private attorneys, you get appointed to certain cases and are going to get paid by the state for that particular case. They also, the judge will assign attorneys to those cases, and those people also get an opportunity to shop their attorneys, to look for other attorneys.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can promise you one thing. I mean, no judge has ever told me this. This is my opinion. You will find every judge in this world bend over backwards to get somebody charged with a crime, an attorney, because of many legal responsibilities, but also it is very difficult for judges sometimes to deal with a criminal defendant that has no attorney. It is difficult, and it makes life very, or not easy, but easier if the criminal defendant charged has an attorney. So.
But you've got an excellent point. You're lost. You go in there and you're lost.
Yep.
You get arrested and you're in jail and you're lost and saying, how do I know the good attorneys from the bad attorneys?
Well, Jerry, we got a break coming up, so I hope we answered your questions.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right,
gentlemen.
Well, thank you for the call. It was a great call, great questions, and especially on the self-defense insurance policies that are sold. There's a lot of exceptions in those policies, you know, like bail. Maybe it covers bail, maybe it doesn't, so... Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're here for you every week, and we're here for you right now. We'll be right back. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're ready to rock and roll for you. It's legal rock and roll time. This is the only show of its kind. We are the champions of the people. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. And it's information-loaded website. And it has our reviews there, our attorneys there, our cases there, our results there, our books there, our information there, our shows there, and more. ChampionsOfThePeople.com, and it's easy to contact Bell and Pollack if you need us. It's easy to meet with us if you've been injured. It's easy to get a game plan, a legal game plan, a significant, meaningful game plan about you, your injuries. You know, we preached this. We wrote a book on it called Legal Game Plan, but think about this. You need a legal game plan on how the accident happened. And I think over the years, we've been able to show you how and why. You know, some, it's not as easy. You say, well, I was rear-ended, but surely there's insurance that are going to pay me, right? Sometimes you need a legal game plan on exactly how the accident happened, and you need a legal game plan on your damages, injuries, and losses. We just don't guess. We don't guess. When you come into our law firm, hey, tell you what, let me ask you a question. You like old fashioned board games? You know, maybe I show my age a little bit. But I kind of like old fashioned board games once in a while. I like them. Get a new game. What happened in the old days when you get a new game or a digital game? But let's talk about an old fashioned board game. You open it up. Wow, you got all these pieces and things and trinkets and men and whatever. What's the first question everybody asks? Wait a minute, what are the rules here? What are the rules? We can't play the game. Oh, legal game plan. We can't have a legal game plan without knowing the rules. So just call Bell and Pollack. Okay, today we're focusing, Brad. We got a little bit of time left on the insurance company file, so we want it. We want it for a lot of reasons. Sometimes there's statements in there from witnesses. Sometimes there's investigations. And what if, and we've seen this before, the insurance company goes out and hires an engineer to reconstruct the accident. And the engineer comes up with the opinion, well, I reconstructed it. Here's my bill for $12,500. Thank you. And by the way, it was your insured's fault.
Well, you know, be ready for the war to try and get that opinion and to find out what was said. You know, a lot of times that's going to get buried. You're going to be lucky
buried.
If you find it. Yeah, buried.
Buried.
You're going to be lucky if you can find it in the insurance company file or if you can find it in the file concerning your client and what happened and whether or not they did, in fact, have anybody go out and look at it. They're going to tell you that's definitely an anticipation of litigation. They're going to say that's their information and they're not, and you're not entitled to it. That's one thing for certain. When an insurance company starts fighting you to get to, and what doesn't want you to have information, that means there's some harmful information, period. And the bottom line in getting that information is getting yourself in a situation where, you can get it and you've got to look and say, look, this is part of the business of the insurance company is to get people out there to look at the accident and reconstruct the accident and figure out what happened. What insurance company, for anybody sitting there right now, what insurance company do you think would say, well, a crash just happened. We may be responsible by contract to pay for this. And then they turn around and say, but we're not going to get anybody to go look at it. Because we're going to wait for the litigation to start and we're going to do it in anticipation of litigation because we don't want to investigate the crashes. We don't want to investigate whether our insured is responsible. We don't want to investigate whether or not we should be paying somebody else. It's almost common sense when you put it together, Gary.
Well, yeah, and we preached for years that, you know, insurance companies, the three Ds, right? Delay, deny, defend. Delay, deny, defend. And so, you know, you want to take action with your legal game plan to beat all that. And at Bell & Pollock, we can help you do that. We've been doing it for years. We can do it right now. You need to be informed. You need to be educated. At Bell & Pollock, we educate and advocate. And we're glad to do it. We spend a lot of time drafting all these materials and books, etc., doing these shows so that you will be educated, informed. If you're informed, you improve. If you improve, you win. All right, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell & Pollock. We are the champions of the people. And if you go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, we call it an information-loaded website. It is. All of our books there, we've talked about it. We have 10 injury books on different injury subjects, and we do all of this for you because we are the champions of the people. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.